This is speaks a powerful word, and I'm going to share a few words. I think God's going to start something this morning. It's going to conclude up at the river, up at the Lost Creek. So I'm not going to be in your presence very long. But everything I want to talk about this morning has to do with this. Do we believe this? Let me borrow a word that Heath uses sometime. Do we believe this is real, or do we believe it in the abstract? Do we believe in the cross? Do we believe it can warrant the blood that flowed down this cross? Do we believe that it can eradicate and wash away every sin? Do we believe that? Or do we believe there are certain sins that it can't wash away? Because every person in this room today has a past. Oh, you didn't hear me. Not me. I don't have a past. Yes, you do. You're a sinner. And if you've been saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. And the platform we have is all level at this place right here. Because we've all sinned. Romans 3 says we all sinned and we have come short of God's glory. And Isaiah said we all like sheep, we have turned astray. We have gone our own ways. And people are prone sometimes to cast judgment and labels on people because of their past. That's religion, my friend. Religion will keep you at distance from God. But Jesus died so that every sin would be cleansed. Every chain would be broken. Every grave would be opened. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you hear me? How many can hear me today? Y'all act like you can't hear. How many can hear what I'm saying? But if you've been to the cross, that's where our hope lies in. That's where our healing lies in the blood that was shed on that cross to give every woman, man, boy, and girl the opportunity to come to Calvary, to its cleansing flood, and to find powerful redemption in Jesus. So let's look at this right here. Hallelujah. Amen. How many believe those powerful images? Turn in the Word of God to one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Word of God. And this morning, I don't want to scare anybody, But you're going to help me preach this message this morning. Because I have no abilities in myself. I've never learned how to preach. If you have, then I'm okay. But I haven't. I depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with theology. There's nothing wrong with higher schools of learning and theology to get a seminary. There's nothing wrong with that. Those are powerful tools. But I didn't get that there. I was a school teacher by trade, taught for 30-some years in Wise County. And a lot of the lessons that I walk in today, a lot of the things that I walk in today, I learned many years ago teaching in the classroom. Because when I look at those kids, I look at futures, and I look at promises, and I look at destiny. And today, this is a place of hope. Turn to somebody and say, this is a place of hope. How many believe that today? So turn in the book of Mark to chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10. Aaron? Where is Aaron? Oh, he's teaching today. Okay, won't do that then. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. One of my favorite scriptures. And if you want to stand for the reading of God's word, that's fine. And if you don't, if you can't, this is reverence to God, not me. I only work for him. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? Amen. If you're there, shout yes. What is it you all do in youth? How many is there? You can do that. All right. Now they came to Jericho. Verse 46. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. You know what? We are about labels, my friend. You and I are about attaching labels to people. You know, the Bible said he was the son of Timaeus. And we'll talk about that just in a minute. But the scripture says they called him blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And he sat by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, wow, if you want to cry out something today, friend, this is the most powerful word you could ever cry out in your life. Somebody said, I don't know how to pray. If you've never prayed before, all you've got to know is this one word. Jesus. Because, listen, that one word brings the attention of heaven into your atmosphere. Amen? How many knows there's power in the name of Jesus? There's power in the name of Jesus. And they begin to cry out. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Wow, you want to get to the heart of God? Then pray this prayer. Jesus, have mercy upon me. You know what? I prayed that prayer one time, a long time ago. And I believe when I prayed that prayer and called out to God, that there was a powerful exchange that took place that day. I believed in the shed blood of Jesus. And when I cried out to the name of Jesus and believed with all my heart, the moment I cried out, that he would save me and cleanse me of my sin. Oh, listen, friend. He washed away my sin. He gave me hope. He gave me a future. I begin to walk in a destiny that God had for my life. Amen. By calling out on the name of Jesus. The Bible said in verse 49 that Jesus stood still. It got his attention. It got his attention. You know what? Jesus has our attention here in this place today. You know why? You've exalted him. You've worshiped him. But you've been calling out on the name of Jesus. And there are people today in this room that have heaven's attention. All right. And the Bible said he commanded, Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. This is your day. Turn to somebody and say, this is your day. This is the day of your miracle. How many believes in miracles? I know. We read that and we say all the time, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in the cross. I believe in the blood. But do we really believe it, or do we believe it only in abstract? Do we believe it doesn't apply to me? May apply to somebody else, but not myself. So the Bible said that he stood still and he called him. And they said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Turn to somebody and say, oh, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? He said, the blind man said to him, Rabboni, or teacher, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. And he followed Jesus on the road. I want you to go back down to verse 48. Verse 47 and verse 48. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming by, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And there were many that were there that day, and they warned him to be quiet. They warned the blind man to shut up, be quiet. You're bothering Jesus. You're bothering Jesus. You're making too much of a ruckus. You're being too loud. You're being too desperate. You're being radical. You got to be quiet and calm down. But the Bible said that the man cried out the more to Jesus. He cried out the more to Jesus. And he said, have mercy upon me. You may be seated. Amen. This morning, many of us today are defined by our past. We all have a past. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And you know what? We all have pasts we're not proud of. We all have pasts that are marred. Some pasts are more marred than others. But yet, we all have had a past. We've all been in places in life that we wish we could have never been in. We've all got parts and places in our life that we wished we could etch out, or wished we could change, go back and change. But the fact is, it's already happened. The fact is, your life has already reached to this point in your life, and there are things, even at a young age, that you are right now. Still, some of you here today have regrets in your life, things that you wish you had never done. Is there anybody in the house that I'm talking to today? Or am I just talking to myself? You, there are things in your life you wish you could go back and undo. There are things and events that's taken place in your life you wish you could go back and change. And I know that you feel and sense that way. But let me remind you and give you a word of hope this morning. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why Jesus died on the cross. The truth is, you can't pay for your sins. The truth is, you can't be a Martin Luther. You can't lay in the snow and freezing temperatures for hours and hours and try to eradicate and pay your sins. I've tried that, friend. It doesn't work. But I'm glad for what God revealed to Martin Luther, which caused the spark to change something in our world back in the Middle Ages, or better than the Middle Ages, the early 1400s. I remember what Martin Luther discovered. Woo. I remember he discovered a scripture in the Word of God. He remembered God enlightened him and shared something. The just shall live by faith. How many knows today, if you're to be justified in your faith, it's totally through the work that Jesus did on the cross, not through your works. You can't pay for your sins. You can't pay. You can't. There are things in your life, even though you wish you could go back and undo, you can't do. You can't undo those things. You can't change those things. That's why we have grace. That's why we have God's love. That's why we have God's forgiveness. This morning, don't allow your past to determine your future. Don't allow the mar of your past to determine and dictate your future. Let me tell you something. Jesus died so you could have a future. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. These are plans that God has for you. To give you a future. To give you a hope. I have a future and I have a hope because of this finished work that Jesus did on the cross for me. Turn to somebody and say, that's preaching. Not many of you said that, so you must not agree. So I'll give you one more chance. Turn to somebody and say, that's preaching. See, I'm going to preach what the Word of God says. I'm not going to preach what you want me to preach to you. If I preach, I'm going to preach the power of God's love. The unadulterated power of Christ's love and His purity. This morning, because we all need hope, friend. We've all had past. And there are people today that are trying to run from their past. I've done that for years. I was 20-some years trying to hide from a marred past. I, 20-some years living and trying to undo my past. Trying to go back and undo things. Trying to pay homage and trying to do all these things to undo the unraveling in my life. To undo the chaos in my life that a young age produced. Raised in an alcoholic home. Oh, with abuse and adultery and all kinds of things that went on in the home. I don't have the time, nor is it necessary right now. But listen, I was broken goods. I was damaged goods. And I needed a Savior. I needed mercy. I needed forgiveness. I needed hope. That's why you're here today, friend. Because you need mercy. You need hope. You need forgiveness. So, one day I looked out, I cast my heart in the direction of Jesus. And I heard that Jesus could forgive sins. Oh, I've been taught that since I was a child in Sunday school. I was raised by a godly mother in and out of Sunday school. And a mother who loved Jesus. But a dad who couldn't hold his liquor. So I know what it was. I know what it means. I know what it means to try to hide in the darkness. I know what it means to run to a closet as a 5 or 6 year old and pray that my dad not come home. I know what it means. I know what the darkness is. But I also know what the light is, my friend. I know the love of Jesus Christ. So I was like Bartimaeus. I was on the roadside begging, just existing, just making it, just making it, just making it in life, just struggling and making it. I prayed the prayer of repentance so many times, I don't even remember how many times I prayed, until one day I learned three powerful things about God's love: that He loves me, that He forgives me, and that He accepts me just the way I am. I broke my broken pieces. I broke my damaged goods. I broke my broken self to the cross of Christ. And I extended faith to Him and said, God, I need a release. I need forgiveness. I need acceptance. God, I've looked in the wrong places, but now I come to You. I was sitting beside the road begging. I was sitting beside the road begging. Many of you here in this room, you've been where I've been. You sit beside the road begging. You sat beside the road begging, broken. Broken because of your addictions. Broken because of your struggles in life. Defined by many by your past. There will be many people that will never celebrate your future because of your past. There will be many people that will not stand on your cheering section and cheer you on just because you had a past. But I'm here to remind you, friend, that God has a future. And the blood of His Son Jesus wants to wash away your past and throw it into the sea. My knees are buckling right now. I wish I had some people in here to help me preach today. Because we've all been there. We've all have been damaged goods. Some more damaged than others, but we've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. Sin, all unrighteousness is sin. You can't stand in a holy God. You can't love a holy God in your righteousness. It won't work. You don't have any. When I stand before a holy God, I stand in His righteousness. First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. You see, every person in here today, if you'd got justice, you could peer down into the darkness, into the shadows, and the loom of hell, and you could see people that did not accept that justice, that did not accept that forgiveness. Today, let me tell you something. He is faithful and just. Sin, the payment of sin had to be paid for. You and I could not pay for it. We were broke. We were destitute. We had nothing. We come before a holy God, our pockets empty, our hearts empty, in need of God's love, with nothing to pay for, without any the price of gold and silver. We had nothing to pay for. There is nothing that you could ever do to earn or merit the love of Jesus Christ. Not by your good works, not by your good deeds. You can go to church the rest of your life and miss God. You can go to church all your life. You can have all the talk, and you can have all the actions. You can have all the right things to say and all the right things to do. But unless you've been to the cross, unless you've had your life crucified with Christ, then you're lost without Christ. But today, Jesus gives you hope. He gives you a way to leave a life of brokenness. And every one of us have been where Bartimaeus was. All of us were blind and we need to see. Jesus. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus died for me. Let me tell you something. It's real easy for you to turn to somebody and say, Jesus died for you. But say this, Jesus died for me. Come on, turn to somebody and say, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you, Willie. He died for you, Helen. He died for you. He died for me. Bartimaeus sat beside the road. Religion had passed him by. People had passed him by, and every day the same place. His life was the same. Nothing had changed. Nothing was happening. Every day he came with the expectation, except this one day would be the most different day in his whole life. Has there ever been that one day in your life that stood out, that made your life different than any other day in your whole life? Let me give you a hint. If you come to Christ and you gave your life to Him, that was the greatest day in your life. Somebody help me out. We believe in the cross, but we believe it in an abstract form. We believe in the love and mercy of Jesus, but we believe it in an abstract form. And he sat beside the road begging. Then he heard that it was Jesus. Jesus will be the difference in your life. He will not make a difference. Did you hear that? I hear people say all the time, He made a difference in my life. No, Jesus is the difference in your life. He's not somebody that's going to fit into your formula or your busy life. Jesus has got to be your life, friend. Do you understand what I'm talking about? People accept Him. People want to believe in Him. But as only a part of their life, Jesus. He heard that Jesus was coming by, and this was going to be the greatest day in his life. God told me to tell some of you here today, this is going to be the greatest day in your life. You're sleeping or you're not with me. What? Turn to somebody and shake them. Wake up. Say, wake up. It's too early in the day to be sleeping. My preaching might not be the best, but I know it's not boring. Amen! And he cried out, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And there were people there that wanted to shut him up. There are people there that wanted to quieten him down. There are people there that they were bothering. Listen, friend, let me tell you something. Religion will leave you at the doorstep. Religion will leave you at the doorstep. Religion will pass you by. It's like the story of the Good Samaritan. It's like there are people who will pass you by. Religion will pass you by. Friends will pass you by. Listen, churches will pass you by. Friends will pass you by. Family will pass you by. But listen, when you call on the name of Jesus, you can guarantee this. Jesus Christ will hear your cry. They tried to get him to be quiet. There are people who want to quieten you, friend. There are voices that want to quieten you. Let me tell you a voice that wants to quieten you. It's called your past. It's called your past. There are voices that scream into the depths of your life and bring back your past. Bring back who you used to be. Bring back what you used to do. Bring back the failures, the mistakes, the mess ups, all the ways that you've damaged others and you've damaged yourself. The devil wants to remind you that you're a mistake. The devil wants to remind you that you shouldn't have been born, that you should have never been here on this planet. And listen, I'm not talking to myself. There's somebody in this room God is speaking to today. Don't you allow voices to dictate to your heart because of your past. You don't have a future. Don't let the voice of the past echo into your mind and discourage you and tell you you don't deserve. You don't deserve to do that. How many times has the enemy tried to speak into my life and say, you don't need to be about that. You're not worthy of that. But I'll tell you one truth the devil did say. I'm not worthy in myself. I don't stand in his worthiness. I stand in Jesus' worthiness. I stand healed, forgiven, cleansed, set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The children of Israel couldn't. A whole generation couldn't commit to the future because of their past. It took God one day to deliver the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt. It took him one day. The blood of the lamb that was shed over the doorposts, that lamb that they sacrificed and put the blood over the doorpost, the night the angel of death came to Egypt, the 10th plague, the night that the angel of death came and everywhere the blood was applied, there was freedom from that death. Listen, they left Egypt the next day. Millions of them exited Egypt, left a life of sin, left a life a bondage, left a life of struggle and death, and they left with the riches of Egypt. One day they did that, but it took God 40 years to get their past away from their life. Do you have a past? Everybody in this room has a past. Don't allow the voices of your past to blur you from the powerful destiny that God has for your life. Oh, Bartimaeus was called blind Bartimaeus. Imagine going throughout your life being called who you used to be. Imagine going your whole life and somebody saying, you're the woman with the issue of blood. Imagine somebody speaking into your life and saying, you're the leper that was cleansed. Imagine going through your life and having somebody say, you're the man with the withered hand. Oh, my hand might have been withered. I may have been the woman with the issue of blood. I may have been blind Bartimaeus at one time. I may have been the leper. Oh, Simon the leper, as they called him in the book of Matthew chapter 26. You may have been called many things by many people. And there have been people who have disputed the destiny and future God has in your life because of what you did yesterday. I don't care if you've been on drugs. I don't care if you've been drunk, an alcoholic. I don't care if you've been a prostitute. I don't care who you've been, what you've been, or what you've done. Jesus' blood eradicates your past and gives you a future. Somebody missed an opportunity right there to praise him. When Lot, God told Lot and his family to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, I want you to leave and I want you to look behind. I don't want you to look back. He that taketh the hold of the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of God. But we spend a lot of our times been spoiled by the voices of our past to impede progress to our future because of the enemy's reminder of us of who we've been and where we've been. But every time we should take him to the cross. And been in ministry since nearly 40 years, God has to remind me the power of that cross to wash away all my sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Everybody shout faithful. God is faithful, friend. You're here today not because you are good. You're here today not because you did something good. God has blessed you today not because you did something good. He gave you a talent not because you're good. He loves you not just because you're good. That's what I grew up in. I had to earn my love where I felt like I did. I had to buy my love. I had to buy people's acceptance because I didn't fit into their groups. I didn't fit in. Listen, the devil don't want you to hear this, my friend. You better get a hold of it and wrap your heart around it. You can never earn God's love. You don't deserve God's love. Does that sound strange? Does anybody here deserve it? Stand up right now. I'll give you the microphone. The truth is, we none do. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man would have a reason to boast." Because there are some of you here today could boast more than others. I've done this. I've done that. You've done this more than that. When you've done this more than that, you've gone to church more. You've gone to Sunday school more. You've sung more. You've done this more. You've done that more. But the truth is, none of that. All of that is works. And you're not saved by your works. You're saved to work in God's kingdom, to make a difference in other people's lives. So your past, echoes from your past are screaming, discounting your future and God this morning. And God wants to remind you that I've washed away your sins. I've cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And you stand before a holy God today and able to lift your hands because he is holy and he is faithful and he is just and he is righteous. And he is holy, not because you have, not because of what you've done. They try to get him to be quiet. Let me tell you something. The devil don't care if you shout at a ball game. Woo! Go for it. Scream your lungs out. Bust your arteries out of your neck. Get so hoarse you can't talk the next day. He don't care if you do that, Billy. But what he does care about is if those who are truly blood-bought, who come and assemble together and give praise and glory and honor. Jesus has said that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And by men seeing what God has done in your life, you're not saved by good works, but you do good things. You do good things because of God's goodness. Not because there's anything naturally good in you. Just because God is in you. And he gives you ability to do the things that are good. And when men see those good works, what do? They glorify the God, the Father in heaven. They give him praise. When men see this ministry do good things, don't you dare pat me on the back. Don't you dare put me on a pedestal. The only one that deserves glory is the one who died on this cross. And I don't know why I can't get somebody to just help me out today. Your past. past. Your past. Be quiet. You're just a blind man. You're just a leper. You're just a prostitute. Whew. We preach to men behind walls. We take hope of the gospel to men. Can I remind you something? Beside the grace of God, you be behind those walls. Because there are walls much bigger than those walls that you're behind today. You're hiding behind the wall of pride. I can't worship God. Well, I'm worried about somebody, what somebody's going to think about me. It don't matter what people think about you. Chances are they're not even thinking about you. Amen? What matters is what the King of Glory thinks about you. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be standing right here right now if I depended upon the faults and accusations of men. I would not be here. But you're a product of grace. She got scared. She thought I was going to yank her up. You're a product of grace. Get up here, brother. Come on, brother. I know you're a coal miner. I know your knees are moving slow this morning. Can I tell some things that you've not already, that you've already told? An alcoholic. Or drunk. Drunk a lot. I don't know if he drunk every day, but he couldn't handle your liquor, could you? Done a lot of things. You wish your life hadn't been about right, CA. I feel loved by God. I feel loved by God standing here, brother.
That's fact. Shame.
A few years ago, God had to show you something to remind you of that. Buried about 2 feet under the ground in your yard. What was it that you found, brother?
Cross.
He found the cross. I found the cross. Rick, did you find the cross? Did you find the cross? The cross changed everything. The blood of Jesus changed everything. Don't go anywhere. The blood of Jesus changed everything. I know I'm a snotting and a snorting. And I'm sorry. I don't even know where my handkerchief is. Excuse me. Get me a Kleenex. When I say that, that's a cue to get me a Kleenex. Here it is. Do you understand what God is saying here today? If this man had allowed his past to shape his future, he would not be here today. Because according to life, according to religion, this man's unclean. This man shouldn't be doing the things. This man shouldn't be running heavy equipment in a vision up there at Lost Creek. This man shouldn't be winning the lost to Jesus, because this man is just a sinner. But you found the cross. You found the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. Bartimaeus, cried out. And there were people there that said, you can't, Bartimaeus. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. And you go back under the law. There are people all the time that want to live by the code of the law. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want to live by the law. Because there's nobody that could earn or be fit for God's kingdom under the law. That's why grace came. That's why grace came. That's why love came. And Jesus, I need your love today. If there's ever been a pastor in this nation that needs your love, I need your love today, Jesus. Can't you? Is your heart hardened that you can't grasp that powerful concept of the cross and grace and God's love? Quit trying to be pretty trick. Quit trying to be good. Quit trying to work it all out yourself, because you can't do it. That's why grace came. That's why God's love came. I'm getting ready to close. Can you stay there with me, brother, and help me? The thing about this story that many of you don't know, that Jesus was going through Jericho on his way to the cross. He would never come back to Jericho again. God has revealed his love and grace to you today in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And you can't earn it. You can't do anything to, you didn't do anything to deserve it. It's what it is. It's God's love. There's nothing more powerful than the love of God. There is nothing you could ever do, Linda, to make God love you anymore. You do good things, but there's nothing good, Ray, we could ever do to make God love you anymore. The truth is, he just loves you. And let me tell you something. You may feel like a scumbag. You may feel like the lowest person on the totem pole. You may feel like the bottom of the lot. You may feel empty and washed out, and your life is broken. But the fact is, you could never do anything as bad as it may be to change God's love for you. The fact is, he just loves you. Now, can I comprehend that? No. Neither can you. The fact is, Randall, he just loves you, brother. Warts and all. Feet and all. You want to know something? My feet's uglier than your feet, my brother. We're going to have an ugly feet contest someday, and I'm going to win that. You know that? I used to feel so inadequate, so insecure. I had so many insecurities in my life as a teenager. I've had a while to explain. I could tell you why. I used to wear triple clothing because everybody made fun of me, how scrawny and skinny that I was. God did bless my life. I wanted to fit in. I never did fit in the places of people growing up. And then God blessed me when I was in high school. I began to excel in sports. So they got me recognition, but it got me the wrong kind of recognition. Because I didn't have the proper attitude about God's love, the direction about God's love. It got me human recognition, but it didn't fulfill the real need I had in my life, Michelle, and that was to be loved by God. Because I grew up in a home that, listen, and because I said my dad couldn't handle his liquor, my dad loved me. He did. My dad loved me. My dad loved me. He's a good worker, a coal miner, electrician, welder. He did all those things, but he couldn't handle his liquor. My mom felt the brunt of that anger and frustration growing up inadequate himself. And that spilled over. with the life of kids. So I grew up with not the proper orientation of what God's love was, because I didn't feel the love of my dad. That happens, friend. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it sound like I'm talking Greek to you? But one day I discovered the love beyond all love. Let me tell you what redemption will do. Redemption will restore the love of a father for his son. My dad, after nearly 30 years of prayer warring by my mom, never gave up on my dad. And prayed through his alcoholism, his adulterous affairs. And God, dad would be telling you the same thing, because he's a product of God's grace and love, although he had struggles. And he came one day in a little Methodist church in southeast Kentucky, gave his life to Jesus. People said it wouldn't last. It's George Reynolds. He's just a drunk. Oh, but God changed his life and restored the love between a dad and his son. And we not only loved each other and told each other that before he left this world, but we preached the gospel together. Woo! You want to know about redemption and God's love? You need to wake up, friend. God will love you when no one else can love you. Did you hear me? God will love you when everybody else has left and go home. God's love will still be there. I'm not going to leave you, nor am I going to forsake you, but I'm with you always. This is an everlasting love. So we preached the gospel together. You see that building up there on the hill? That big old building that used to be a youth center in that little church up on the hill that I used to pastor many years ago. My dad almost built that with his hands. But he was discounted in life. He was said, that's his past. There are people that wouldn't let him live in his powerful God-given destiny and future, because people constantly reminded him of his past. Every person in this room, you have a past. And Bartimaeus, what he did that day as a sign that he was letting his past go, when Jesus said, call him, there's a voice calling you today. And he said, I want you to come just like you are. I want you to come just like you are. I want you to come just like you are. I want you to bring your broken pieces. I want you to bring your shattered life. I want you to bring your hopelessness. I want you to bring your fears. I want you to bring everything. I want you to bring it to me and lay it at my feet. Lay it at the cross. Lay it at the cross like C.A. did a few years ago. Did you hear that, Jason? This man brought his life to the cross and laid it at Jesus' feet. Linda, we love you. And I know you have pain this morning. I know you miss your mom. Oh, but for the grace and love of God's Son. And you know that love, don't you, Linda? You know that love, don't you? But every one of us has had a past. Jesus said, call him. And he called him. He's calling you today. And he's saying, come. And Jesus stood before him. And the Bible says that Bartimaeus, can you hold this? Threw away the only security he had in his life for Christ's security. His cloak. What? That was his home. That was his bank. That was his kitchen. That was his storehouse. His cloak was the most prized possession that he had. And when he came to Jesus, he threw his cloak and he came running to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus. They brought him to where Jesus is. And he said, what can you do for me? I want to hear. I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. I want to be able to see like other people see. And Jesus touched that man that day. And Bartimaeus' life was changed because the power of God's grace and love. He had a past, but it was washed away by the love and the power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you something this morning. You've got a past. You got a past. This man right here. Why did you sit back down a while ago? You got a past. What are you doing? Why ain't you up there? You got a past. You got a past. What are you doing sitting there smiling, grinning? You got a past. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to go and pray with that man right there. Did you all hear me? You got a past. If God has washed away your sin, why aren't you on your feet right now? Come up here, Jonathan. Can I tell this on you? I want you to hear me. Hear me well. You better open your ears. 2 years ago, this man was in Camp 18, paying the state of Virginia for crimes. But this man has been set free by the power of Jesus' blood. Is that okay? Do you hear what he's saying? God's love is greater than your sin. His love is greater than your past. Quit looking down your religious noses at people despising their sin when we're all sinners saved by God's grace. Come up here. Tell you, can I say this? Thank you, Travis. Can I say this? Not even a year ago, Ray, this man on a Sunday morning was ready to take his life. He sat at home contemplating taking his life. Do you hear what I'm saying? You hear what God is saying? Ready to end his life. It's not worth it. Too much pain. Too many problems, Willie. I'll just end my life. Let me tell you what happened. Grace stepped into his confusion, his past, and said, "Bread. Bread!" See, you've got to been there. If you're too good, you're not going to understand this. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're a goody two-shoes, you're not going to understand this. Woo, boy, I need God's grace. Then Brad came where it was all level. Stand behind that brother. You see these people right here? They're all images of people who God gave a future and He has a plan for you. And if you're here today and that's you, we're closing. And before we do, if you're here today and you need Jesus, I'm going to invite you. God, I can't invite you. Josh, I can't do that. I never opened the door, so I can't close it, nor neither can I open it. But what I'm going to do this morning, grace is extended to you. There's a Jesus calling out to a blind Bartimaeus by the wayside, just going through life, going through the motions, just existing. Same thing. And you need interception this morning. You need an encounter with God's love and grace. that's going to blow you plumb out of your mind. Amen. So these people right here, men, women, whoever's up here, I don't know who's up here, but I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the people who were standing where you were standing at one time before you found God's grace. This man came all the way from the state of Indiana today to show the world he has a new life. He has a new life. If that's you, I want heads to bow and eyes are closed. We're getting ready to go up and have a baptism here just in a minute. I need some prayer warriors up here praying with this brother right here. We already got one up here. You know what? Let me tell you something, friend. I want to be up here where you can see me. That man went from there outside. I don't know, even know why you went outside. It doesn't matter. But you came back in, and you came back in, and you made a ride up here to the front. I may be bold in saying this. He may have been struggling with grace and God's love and forgiveness. But when he came back in, he had his mind made up. Let me tell you something. It took some courage. I don't know if I've met this brother or not before, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He did a bold, courageous thing today. And if you're here today, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, and you need God's love. You need to be free from your past. You need to be healed in your life. You need God's love and forgiveness and acceptance. If you're here today and that's you, slip your hand up with mine and say by that, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless that hand. Thank you for being honest. Thank you, Lord, for that hand and that hand. Thank you for being so honest today. God bless that hand. You know what? It took a lot of courage to do that. I promise you it did. I've been there. Oh, Jesus. I've been there. Lord, your love is real. There's nothing more real than your love, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step like our brother right here. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come and down and let us pray together. And you find God's powerful peace and love in your life. Quit running from your past. Quit running and trying to hide from your future. So today, those that raise their hand, I'll ask one more time. Is there someone else? Can slip your hand up with mine and say, pray for me. God bless that hand. Took a lot of courage to do that. God bless. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to do the most courageous thing you've ever done in your life. We've all been there. If you've been there, shout amen. I want somebody to hear that. I don't want somebody in this room to feel like they're all by themselves. If you've been there, shout amen. And let me tell you, you're going to have an audience of people that's going to be cheering you on. But most importantly, you're going to have God's love cheering you on. Isn't that right, Brother Rick? One, on this number three, I want you to come. I want you to come and bring your sin, bring your past, bring your hurt, bring your pain. Bring it to Jesus. Two, three, come on right now. Those that raise their hand, come on. Come on. Come on, somebody will step out your way. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Cheer on. We need some sisters up here praying. We need some sisters up here praying. Hallelujah. There there's others that raise their hand. People will step out your way. People will step out your way. Come to Jesus right now. There's others that raise their hand. Come to Christ right now. Come to Him right now. Somebody wants to. Somebody needs to. Come to Him right now. But I can't do that. But I can't. No, you can't on your own. But somebody's going to help you, my friend. I promise you. It's the greatest move you ever made in your life. Right now, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Him right now. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling right now. Come to Him. Come on, sing it out. Sing it out. Passion, passion. Jesus, save the lost. Save the hurting. Save the desperate. Heal the brokenhearted, Jesus. Stretch your hand toward those that are hurting and bruised today, Jesus. Stretch your hand toward those that are hurting and bruised, Jesus. Come right now. Come right now.